This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Creative Impact. Today, Deb Pollock and I have a special guest on the line that's going to help us dive into a subject matter that, in one form or another, has likely impacted most all of us. And Deb, that is stage fright.
Yes, performance anxiety. Well, our guest today, Dr. Julie Jaffe Nagel, is an expert in performance anxiety. So we have her here with us to share a bit about her practice and how she got involved with that. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, David, Julie is a trained performer in the sense that she is a concert pianist, but she became interested in performance anxiety. Julie, tell us a little bit about that, how your path took you there.
My path took me there since I was a very little girl. When I was 6 years old, I started piano lessons, and I also composed music. And so I was taking lessons. My teacher was recording a little song that I had composed on a tape recorder. And in the middle of playing this piece of music, I forgot my own music. And I was mortified, and somehow I knew that it would be forever on this recording. And I didn't want my mistake to be noticed. I just knew I felt scared and awful and embarrassed, but I didn't know what was happening. And that was really my first experience with stage fright, but it's not that unusual for children to feel scared and anxious and worried and that adults are not listening to them or they don't have any control. And these are kind of the seeds that are embedded that become full-blown stage fright later in life.
By the time you had gone to and then graduated from Juilliard, had you resolved those issues, or is it something that stayed with you through your performance life to that point?
No, it stayed with me for a long time, and it's one of the reasons I went through a career change about 15 years after I graduated from Juilliard. No, stage fright, unfortunately, was not talked about, was not acknowledged. We just didn't talk about it. I thought I was the only one at the school.
So how did the conversation become open? How did people start talking about it?
I never lost sight of what is this thing. I mean, I could put words to it and I could put words to my feelings. My piano teacher would say, look, I'm not worried about you. You're fine. So just don't worry about yourself. Well, that was about as helpful as other teacher not paying any attention.
It's kind of like telling them to view the audience in their underwear, right? It just doesn't work.
Right, which is another anxiety-provoking image for me.
did theater, and I would always hear them tell actors, use your stage fright for an advantage. Use it for your performance, which doesn't sound terribly helpful either.
You have to know what you're using and what's bothering you before you can use it.
So what do you tell your clients?
There are a couple of ways to do it, and the book that that I recently had published, Managing Stage Fright, is really, it's a guide for musicians and music teachers, but it's also a guide for anybody who has to perform. You don't have to be a musician. In fact, you can be an executive speaking before a board meeting. You can be a student taking a test. You can be a speaker giving a speech. What do I tell people? It depends. You know, I have to really evaluate where is the person at and what do we need to do. You don't know how to drive a car. It's not going to help to tell people, be careful when you're in traffic.
You are listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. Deb Pollock is president and CEO of the All Arts Alliance, and our guest is Dr. Julie Jaffe Nagel. Dr. Nagel is talking us through the causes, and we're going to get to solutions to managing stage fright. In fact, her latest book is called Managing Stage Fright, A Guide for Musicians and Music Teachers. Now, you have a clinical psychology or psychiatrist degree as well?
When I decided to go back to school here at Michigan, I started in the Masters of Social Work program, so I got an MSW. But I wanted to go further and do research, so I got a doctorate in psychology and social work, and subsequently, some years later, trained in psychoanalysis at the Michigan Psychoanalytic Institute. For me, it was important to understand not only what to do, but why is this happening in the first place. It's the difference in rooting out something or putting a Band-Aid over something.
Because you have both the experience on the performance side of things and now the clinical side of things, are there neurological or behavioral traits that can be picked up early in the development stages that would let a teacher or parent know which way the child is headed?
Great question, and I don't know if you can predict it, but there are some things you can look at. Stage fright doesn't develop the minute you walk on stage. There is a long, slow process that can develop, and basically It has to do with self-esteem. It has to do with feeling good about yourself. It has to do with how do you develop confidence? How do you feel like I belong here? I have something to say, whether it's through music or through words or through acting or through writing, that I'm a good, okay person, because so many people with stage fright come down the pike of developmental experiences feeling, ooh, I made a mistake. I better be perfect. Something's wrong with me. No, something's not wrong with you if you have some kind of emotional feelings about not being good enough. But parents and teachers need to watch out for the kinds of messages students will give through not volunteering to do things, not enjoying performance, missing lessons, being late to lessons, I'm not ready to play, things like that. And you have to pick up on the nonverbal.
In a field that is so competitive, it has to be challenging to get past that because it's so, you know, you're tested frequently, you're tested against others. Does that add to performance anxiety?
It does, but it doesn't cause performance anxiety.
Okay.
There are two things that I think distinguish the musician from, say, other people, and one who go into performing. The musician has to start very, very young. I started lessons at 6, but I started playing at 4, and that's not uncommon. And that is a very long path to take to get to the other end, to have very highly skilled and focused professional training. And the job market is so difficult and iffy, and so many people, you know, may give up at that point, and you get rejected because that's part of life. But if a person has some self-esteem issues that have come from separation or trauma from early years, rejections are going to be much more difficult for them to tolerate, and they may give up. Or, as you mentioned, Deb, the issue of competition is huge. There are many more trained, skilled, talented performers than there are jobs for them. And so it's incumbent upon those of us who teach or train or do therapy, as I do, or counsel performers, to help them deal with some very powerful emotions that are centered around being rejected or feeling competitive and not winning and yet wanting others to love them and to like them and to be the best. I have seen people who feel that by winning an audition, somebody else is losing, maybe even their best friend, and they feel guilty.
What you're talking about all deals with real human interaction, being in front of people, with people, and being evaluated by people in the same room. Now we have a generation that is working towards this YouTube kind of ideology and social media where they don't have to have contact. They can seek affirmation without having any kind of contact or support system in place. Do you have concerns about where we are on that front?
That's a wonderful question, because performance of any kind is seeking human connection and is dealing with human relationships. And there is an anonymity and a curtain to hide behind if you do go on through social media, where you don't really have to be in front of a person. You can edit it. You can delete it. It doesn't eliminate what do people think of me, because that's such a big issue that is inherent in performance anxiety. I want people to love me. I want people to like me. But it's much harder to do it face-to-face or stage-to-audience, because you do form a relationship with your audience. I don't know where that's going to take the music profession or the acting profession, but I think you're raising a really good issue. I don't know if we can predict that.
Us a success. Where do you find success with your work, bringing people back onto the stage and feeling more comfortable?
What I think is getting it right is feeling good about yourself, that you feel right about yourself. You know, when people come in, they're really hurting. They don't come to see a therapist because they're feeling good. Over time, we work on feeling good and feeling that they can withstand the rigors of what it means to be a creative artist and take that anywhere and also make adjustments. Creative people are really good at adjusting and sensing the environment that they're in. To me, that's a success, when someone feels better and better and better about themselves. The title of my book, Managing Stage Fright, that was a real creative job to come up with a title.
Because it's not a cure. It is managing.
It's not a cure. I didn't want to make a promise. Some people change careers, but they do things that are creative. I think doing therapy is a very creative thing to do. I don't feel that it is any less than being on stage. It's working with people. But it's managing. It's not promising you can cure it, you can eliminate it. But you can control how you feel about yourself. You can't control the audience. You can't control a jury. But if you feel you've done your best and you feel like you want to keep doing it because you've got something to say through the art, what a gift to yourself and what a gift to others that you didn't give up or that you found another way to be creative. There's room for all kinds of creativity.
Dr. Nagel, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Thank you, Julie.
That is Dr. Julie Jaffe Nagel. She is the author of Managing Stage Fright, a guide for musicians and music teachers. You can find the book on her website, and we'll have all the links you need on our website at WEMU.org. Deb Pollack, thanks for your time. We'll see you again next Tuesday.
We'll be here with another exciting show and creative impact.
Deb Pollack is president and CEO of the Arts Alliance and our partner for the weekly feature, Creative Impact. I'm David Fair. Thank you for listening to Creative Impact. You'll hear this feature every Tuesday only on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.